y no vía. I don't know about you, I've been in dry spells, dry places where I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I wasn't praying, I wasn't, you know, just doing the things I'm supposed to do. And I could sense it, like something was taken away, you know. And that's what the presence of God is like for me. That's what it's like for me. And I told myself, I will never let that happen again. Never, ever, ever, ever. It feels terrible. It feels terrible. Who is like you, Lord? In all the earth, matchless love and beauty endless world. Nothing, nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're says you'll never leave nor forsake us. But there's something to be said about that tangible presence, that manifest presence. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for how you always honor us with that tangible presence. We're grateful. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for this moment. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let me speak as your mouthpiece. Let me not be heard or seen, but let you be heard and seen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because your words are filled with power. Power to change our lives for the better. And this morning, it's no different whether we're here or even people who are listening online and even later. Thank you, because that same presence hits them, fills the room where they are, fills the car where they are, fills the shop where they are. And thank you because you do only the things that only you can do for us all. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Go quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As I said, I have an assignment I'm trying to complete. And that is that in this time, I believe God has asked me to deliver a message which I've titled The Sex Minefield. And I'm trying to run through certain scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, and point out some truths that hopefully will help us. In the light of what we've been speaking about recently, which is the, half-time renewal, and we were speaking about keeping on track, one of the major things that is getting people off track, and I hope you can see the picture that Pastor Toluwade was trying to paint of the train that goes off track, twice or more in the last 3 weeks, the Abuja-Kaduna train derailed. Basically, it means it went off track, and I saw a picture of people who were stuck in the middle of nowhere. The train had gone off track, and I could only imagine. I remember looking at one of those pictures, and I was imagining what was running in their minds. Because you remember the last time that there were terrorists that came to attack the train. So when the train now stops in the middle of nowhere, you are immediately looking left, right, everywhere, and you think you are in danger, and rightfully so. Amen. In fact, right after the terrorist attack on the trains, I think last year, the Badon Lagos train at some point stopped in the middle of nowhere because the diesel finished, they said. And I can also imagine the people there and how they were thinking. So the train has not been attacked, the diesel has not finished, but in recent times the train went off track. Amen. And there is nothing that takes people off track as much as this that I'm saying. I mean, I'm talking about sex, and it's getting a lot of people off track, whether you know it or not, but it's destroying a lot of lives, and God wants us to keep on track. Can I have an amen? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as a matter of fact, as I say that, Proverbs 31 keeps coming to me. I want to get to it later, but it keeps coming to me, and I'll say it and just straight out there as a start, which is that it was saying, do not give your strength, it says do not give your strength to women, or to that which destroys kings. And then he went on to say, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink strong drinks and all of that. So people will say, the Bible never says we should not drink alcohol. It does say don't drink alcohol. Can I have an amen? Proverbs 20, I did a bit on alcohol some time ago, I think sometime last year. You can listen to that. Proverbs 23 verse 4, Proverbs 23, it talks about the fact that do not look at the wine when it is red in the cup. So that's saying don't drink it. He said don't even look at it. He said because in the end it will stink. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? I'm just a social drinker. I just drink one bottle every now and then. What the Bible is saying is I don't even try to start. Because one day, it can consume you. And then before you know it, it will destroy you. So similarly here, it's saying, do not give your strength to women. Apologies to women. But like I said earlier, also when I started, I realized that the Bible was written from a patriarchal perspective or a masculine perspective. So a lot of things that are said and a lot of things that we're saying, you can twist them around. They apply both ways. Can I have an amen? So it means that also whatever is saying to a man, Proverbs 5, 6, 7, which we are studying, a woman should also take note and be warned of certain men. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, let me read this scripture first before I carry on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is one of our main texts that we've been reading. It says verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. The word sanctification simply means separation. So separation from something, but separation unto God. Hallelujah. So this is the will of God, your sanctification. So separation unto God, that you should abstain from what? Sexual immorality. So I like it. The old King James says abstain from fornication. And that helps me to make a point that most of the time we try to differentiate things. What kind of thing is this? This one is fornication. This one is adultery. This one is this. This one is that. But the Bible is basically concerned about sexual immorality as a whole. Can I have an amen? So it extends to everything. Okay, every kind of thing you can think about that is sexually immoral, this is what he's talking about. He says that you should abstain. So God's will is that we abstain from sexual immorality, but each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, verse 5 says, not in passion of lust. Passion of lust means not consumed. The word lust, I've explained several times before, simply means uncontrolled desire. Okay, that's the simplest explanation for it. It's not talking about just sexual alone, but you'll find it in James chapter 1, for instance, where it says that a man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust. And he wasn't talking about sexuality there. Okay, he was just talking about temptations in general. So temptations come when you don't control your desires. Okay, so it says that it is the Gentiles. The word Gentile simply means those who don't know God. Okay, it's just another word for saying that. He said, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testify. So it's also saying that, look, whatever you do, first keep yourself, but also ensure that you do not take advantage of anybody. Okay, in this regard, that's what he's saying here. So your sanctification, but ensure you also do not take advantage of anybody else, because God will avenge that person. He said, for God did not call us unto uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Now, just flip and we'll load there. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, and then I'll continue my recap stroke. Introduction. Okay, so and I'll say to you that one of the things that God laid on my heart as I began to pray again, preparing for this session, first I'll explain again for the sake of those who might not be here, but I called it a sex minefield, because a minefield is a land where you have planted bombs. Okay, if you walk through it the right way, you will not get blown up. If you take the wrong steps, you will get blown up. That's the simple explanation, okay? You take the wrong steps, your steps will land on a bomb, you get blown up. So the wrong steps will be anything that are out of the will of God, out of the plan of God. You take those wrong steps, the chances are that you will get blown up. Maybe one limb will be blown up. Maybe your leg will go one way and then you'll be without one leg. Maybe you will end up with two legs being blown away and you'll be what? Just the guy who sits and you have to be riding on, and maybe if they give you prosthetics, okay, so you're completely paralyzed, you can't walk. Or maybe you as a whole gets blown away. Hand will go one way, one hand will go another way, one leg this way, your head that way, you know, so completely wiped out. It could be anything. Are you with me? But it's a risky venture if you don't take the right steps. Can I have an amen? Now, so one of the things God laid on my heart was to, I'll try to just make that very simple, was to mention how addictions work. Now, when we talk about addictions, people are thinking about drug abuse. Okay? But addictions are addictions in general. Okay? Addictions are anything that you seem not to be able to do without. Okay? Anything that if they took it away from you, you kind of revolt. If they took it from you, you will revolt. Your immediate sense of it is as if you cannot do without it. It's also something perhaps for which you'll be tempted to tell lies. So if you were asked, or somebody says, what is that? I say, no, it's nothing. You'll be lying. You understand? Oh, it's just this that I'm doing. And it's a lie. Okay, so anything that seems to have that kind of hold on you is an addiction. Are you with me? And the degree to which something can addict you depends on the degree to which it does something quite physiological. That's big grammar. That's medical grammar. It means that what you call addictions actually do some rewiring of your brain. Are you still following me? Okay? Addictions rewire your brain. That's why they're addictions. And what happens is that it's about the pleasure and reward cycle. Okay? Something that gives you a lot of pleasure. We get pleasure because there's something that's secreted in our brain. I'm trying to take away as much of jargon, which just means technical language, and make it very simple. When something gives you a lot of pleasure, there's usually something that's released in the brain, a fluid. Okay? I mean, there's something else we'll call it medically, that is released in the brain, in a particular area of the brain. And that center or that area of the brain is what we call the pleasure center. And that's why it is so. Now, it's almost like the same thing you get with sugar, okay? How sugar is released in the blood, in the bloodstream. So some things will cause a lot of blood sugar to be released immediately into your blood. Some things, other foods, or if you eat normal food, sugar gets it gets processed into sugar, but it's oftentimes slower release of sugar than if you took sugar itself or a drink that is mainly sugar. You get a flood immediately. Now, anything that then makes this pleasure center or this secretion to flow in the pleasure center and flow very suddenly, very quickly, gives you a lot of rush, is a lot of pleasure all of a sudden, has a greater degree of causing an addiction. Okay? And over time, the way your brain works, it's being remodeled. Are you following what I'm saying? And so you will get that with anything. You will get it with sex. You will get it with games. You will get it. There have been children now who have been caught with games. One sat in front of a game for days, playing a game, and died there. So why would he sit there and be playing a game? An addiction has set in. Of course, it didn't just happen one day. He didn't just sit there for whatever day. He had been getting addicted and addicted and addicted and addicted, and nobody pointed out and said, hey, stop that thing. Are you there? Sex works the same way. Okay? And all kinds of sexual immorality causes a sudden release of that substance in the brain, in the pleasure center. And that's why things like pornography will be a problem. Because over time, as the person watches and gets a sudden release of that, he gets a lot of pleasure. And the memory, so that begins to connect. Are you still following what I'm saying? That remodeling over time also begins to connect with your memory center in the brain. So you'll be remembering the pleasure you had, and you'll find yourself keep going back to that same thing. Are you with me? Listen, what I said to you very simply is also why people will get into things like bestiality. You know bestiality? Where you found all those girls. Is it last year that it was going viral? That we were talking about girls and dogs. Was that last year? It was very... you're all acting like you don't know anything. What do I get with... They are forming. It was viral last year, was it? You're acting like you didn't know. In fact, recently, one lady who interviewed one of the girls that spoke about, you know, her sex life with her dog, it was back in the news, and the lady said that girl that spoke has committed suicide. So you ask yourself, I say, dog! Because once she did it the first time, okay, she ends up having that sensation that I'm talking about, that whole system. And the more she does it, the more that connection, great pleasure, connecting to memory, great pleasure, connecting to memory. Then over time, she finds that it's easier and easier to do until it becomes part and parcel of her life that she must do it. Same way tobacco works. Tobacco is one of the most addictive substances on the earth. Then heroin. And that's why the guy who is a heroin addict can kill you. To get the money, to get the heroin, he's not thinking about you. Are you following what I'm saying? When he comes to attack you to get the money, he has gone beyond you. He's thinking about the pleasure when he gets his heroin shot. So you are just standing in the way of him getting the heroin shot because you owe the money that he needs. So it doesn't matter whether you are his brother, whether you are his mother, whether you are his cousin. He will kill you to get that shot of heroin that he needs. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I believe that God wanted me to lay that as a background to say to us that anything that gives you that kind of pleasure is a problem, and you need to be careful about it. Now, it gives you that kind of pleasure that is not natural. Okay? It's almost like I compared it to sugar, the sugar rush. So sugar gives you that kind of sugar rush that is not natural. That sugar just suddenly floods into your bloodstream. That's not natural. But if you continue an unnatural system, you will get into especially one that affects your pleasure and memory centers. It will get you into an addiction. Are you with me? And God doesn't want us subject to anything. Can I have an amen? Romans 6 makes that very clear. It says you are not slaves to sin. Can I have an amen? We are not slaves to sin. Romans 6:12, Romans 6:14, we are above it. Hallelujah. Now, I haven't laid that foundation. I did that just in obedience to God. I believe he wanted me to explain or to say that. I now go back to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, we have started to speak about that. And like I said, I'm just highlighting a few verses and using them to say certain things. So, before we go to chapter 6, I hope today, and I hope to move a little fast. Are you with me? So chapter 3 talks about what? The lips of an immoral woman. And this just still a lot of recap, so you'll have to go back to listen to previous sessions if you want to really get it. It's just a recap to get you back on board, okay? Because basically this is a teaching about Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. Certain things may be repeated, but when they are repeated, it's for emphasis, it's for your own good. Philippians 3 verse 1 says that. It says, the things that I repeat are not burdensome to me, and they are for your good. Can I have an amen? Good. So Proverbs chapter 5, I said pay attention to verse 3, and it talks about the lips of an immoral woman, okay? And we talked about Ammon and Tamar, remember all of that? Are you with me? And the fact that you need to watch the conversations, you need to watch the conversations that you are having, okay? If you want to avoid sexual immorality, be careful about who you spend time with. We spoke about Joseph and the fact that Potiphar's wife had longing eyes, the Bible says she cast longing eyes on him. Therefore, Joseph made sure that he didn't spend a lot of time with her. Amen. So if you know, somebody has cast longing eyes on you, or you have cast longing eyes, you know, your Bible will say, Ojukokoro, if you have hands in your eyes, amen, or you have crush or fanta, and you know that this is not meant to be, then avoid that person. Spend as little time as possible, only essential time with the person. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. And we spoke about the fact that if you go to verses 9 to 11, the fact that sexual immorality will destroy you completely. Completely, okay? I know billionaires who have lost everything. I'm not talking about they told me. I said I know. I didn't say I know of. I know. I know people personally that I knew their net worth. I knew how they were doing. And I know how they crashed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Someone said, hey, but other people crashed. But these ones, I know why they crashed. Are you still there? So honor can be lost completely. Wealth can be lost completely if you get into that. In fact, one man was telling me one day, and he told me how, you know, because he was like, look, I don't want to say so too much so that you won't know anything about the man. And then he told me how he had a lot of money. A lot of money. And he said then, you know, interestingly, because, you know, it's a conversation. And he was telling me, that boy, who is that? Do you remember that boy in those days? I said, that boy. He said, yeah, that boy that owns this company or that company. So I said, this man. The man is one of the richest men in this country. He said, that boy dare not enter my office in those days if I didn't call him. He has to stand there, put his hand behind his back. The man that is talking, does he have anything? Down, crashed. He said, that boy dare not enter my office anyhow. He said, but in those days, weekend in London, weekend in Korea, we just enjoy and party and women and girls. So what started the conversation was that he was like, you don't drink, you don't carry women. He said, you're lucky. And then he began to tell me about himself. Are you hearing me? I didn't know him as a billionaire, but he was then telling me, I think you are calling that one a boy. Ah. I said, that boy, that boy couldn't talk to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the man, nothing. Hardly can feed today. Are you still there? Okay, look, let's look at verse 18. I don't think we dealt with verse 18 the last time. So we're going to look at verse 18. And it's also critical for the married. Amen. And there's a few things we'll say. Verses 18 to 20. Are you getting anything from this? Okay. Is this okay? Can we talk about this? Is it important to talk about it? Is it helping anybody? Proverbs 5:18. You know, as I said, that my mind flipped again to Genesis. And I usually tell people that once you eat the forbidden apple, your eyes will open. That's addiction. So I tell people, the best bet is don't even taste it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you've done it, thank God for God's word. In the last, how many days ago, this Proverbs 23 kept coming to my mind. And it talks about the fact that he restores my soul. He restores my soul. So God can reset. Amen. He can reset. So thank God if you've ever had issues in the past and all of that, thank God that God can restore your soul. But if you have never, please don't ever. Don't say, let me also try it now. Let me also try it and see first. You eat that apple, your eyes will open. Are you with me? And sometimes it's difficult to close it back. Can I have an amen? Proverbs 5:18. He said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? The New Living Translation says, may you always be captivated. You know, talking about the woman. Let be captivated by her love. May you always be captivated. One says, the NIV says, may you always be intoxicated. Can I have an amen but from the married people? Now, I tell people this about that. Which is to say that some of the things that people talk about now, you know, and say, I want to get a divorce. Why? I just don't love him anymore. I say, begin to love him. Why? Because if you tell me as an instruction, do you realize that's an instruction? And you say, always be intoxicated with our love. Always be enraptured with our love. It means that there's something I can do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? It means that I can put myself in the place where I get intoxicated with the love of my spouse. Are you there? So I just don't love him anymore. Hey, my friend, get on your knees. Do whatever you need to do, but it can happen again. Divorce is not the answer. Are you still there? And if you do the right things, if you trust God with your heart and trust him to work on your heart, God can get you to be intoxicated. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this to you. The main sex organ is not anything you can see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The main sex organ is your mind. The main sex organ is your mind. And anything that captures your mind in that regard has you. Are you still with me, anybody? You know, Jesus was speaking about that in the book of Matthew. And he said, when you look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery with her already. Are you following what I'm saying? He was saying that the moment your mind is taken up and taken over, then it's as good as done. There are many dimensions to what I'm saying to you now. Many, many dimensions. One dimension, I won't go into deeply because people talk about sex in marriage and satisfaction and all of that. And I say it's your mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, there are certain things that you can do and all of that. But I say first and foremost, your mind. Are you still with me, anybody? You are too quiet or you are acting too... So, number two is that when you begin to see, there's a reason why we tell children and all that and all that, and hopefully adults know better, amen. When they get to certain scenes in a movie, you say, hey, don't go, you close your eyes or whatever, you understand? There's a reason, because you are saying, don't let this get in your mind. Are you still with me? When you begin to watch certain things, what it also does is that it begins to break down certain defenses that you have. Because it sets you on a journey in your own mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can begin to watch some things, whether it's a movie, whether it's porn, or it's just a movie, or there are movie scenes, and it's sending you on a journey in your mind about adultery. You understand? About fornication. Now, the more you repeat that to assault on your mind, the more your defenses and your resistance and your revolt against such things begins to come down. And so one day when opportunity comes, are you following what I'm saying? You will surprise yourself that you will do it. Why? Because you had already done it many times before in your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've had that affair many times before in your mind. You've undressed that lady many times before in your mind. So it's just the opportunity now that you now suddenly find yourself in privacy or whatever, and the person strips, you don't resist. Why? Because the resistance has been broken down in your mind. Let me say this to you. Have you noticed that in recent times, almost every movie, no matter what it is, I mean, at least Hollywood, they will put in a gay couple. How many people, you know, you watch movies, you realize it, that they will find a way to introduce a gay couple to it somewhere. A man and a man, a woman and a woman. What are they trying to do? They're trying to break down our defenses so that all of us begin to accept those things as okay. It's all right. It's acceptable. It's normal. Before, when you say, now you watch, your hair has reduced. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the effect of something that takes over your mind. Are you there? Now I'm even hearing believers who say, well, what anybody wants to do with himself is his problem. I can't tell them not to do whatever they want to do. It's okay. I know what I will do. Me, I know what I believe in. I say, no. We ought to hate sin. It doesn't mean we hate the people, but we should hate sin. Sin should make us revolt. Sin, what is this? This is not right. This is not good. But when you begin to say, oh, it's okay, it's because they've broken down the defenses. Are you still with me? Okay, I need to move faster. Now, if you look at all of what it writes there, it then says for the marriage that one of the reasons you must be, enraptured, intoxicated, is that it helps you to avoid being captivated by the wrong person. Okay? So if you go to First Corinthians chapter 7, it talks about that clearly. That's where it begins from. And then it begins to talk about the fact that your body is not your own in marriage, but it belongs to your spouse. Meaning, don't deprive your spouse and all of that, because it helps both of you to avoid sexual immorality. Can I have an amen? Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 6. Let's talk. You are becoming too serious now. Proverbs chapter 6. Are you still here? Proverbs 6. And we'll start from we'll go to verse 24. Proverbs 6, we'll go to verse 24. So again, speaking similarly, it says what? To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Remember the things we have talked about? the conversations, the things you hear, the sweet nothings. Some people, you know, sometimes some women just like to be flattered. They just like it. Say, I'm not doing anything with him. I can, in fact, I can't even date him. But you dote and you enjoy his flattery. You know, every time he sees you, wow. God must have made you on the first day, you know. In fact, when you are just rested, you are so elegant and all of that. And you like to hear that. There's trouble. Fire on the mountain. Are you with me? The guy you said you can never date, you will be shocked at what you will do with him if you keep listening to that from him. Are you still there? Verse 25 says, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her high lips. And he said, what? For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey on his precious life. I've told you this story before, isn't it? Of a gentleman who said, I was very young, I was in church, and a pastor preached on that and said, by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a piece of bread. He said that picture stayed in his head. You know, that his imagination went to work. And he kept looking at the men there and was thinking of agege bread. And he thought, you mean you reduce a man to a piece of bread? He said, and as he grew up, he never forgot that illustration. And that kept him away from sexual immorality because he said, the thing that can take a whole man and make him like bread, I don't want to be partaker of that. Are you with me? I said, are you there? Okay. So we go on. Let's carry on to verse 28. So we've said some of those things we needed to say. Verse 28. It says, can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. So remember what I said. All of this is about sexual immorality as a whole. There's a tendency for people sometimes to think that they can do things and get away with it. That's what he's talking about here. And he says you cannot walk on hot coals and not get your feet burned or burnt. So don't think that you can become an expert player. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or a professional hookup. Hookup, what do they call them? Why are you like, eh? Hookup agent, I mean. I think that you are the slickest hookup person around. No, you will get burnt. Are you with me? In recent times, there were two ladies who were found by the roadside, I think in Rivers, found by the roadside dead. And they supposedly say, you've seen the story. They said there was some guy there, and they believe that he does, trades in organs, okay? And they were found by the roadside. They were traced to him. They traveled there to see him. And then somebody was telling me, I said, you know, one of those women was a married woman, you know, who went with her friend thinking they were doing something they could get away with. And they did not know that that would be their end. Now, in recent times, I saw in the news that there was a third woman that somebody said, that woman, the last time they knew, went also to see that guy. They have not seen her since then. Are you still there? I always tell people that there is a time the hunter becomes haunted. You know, so when a guy say, omoye mamu, sometimes omoye lofe mwe. You understand what I'm saying? So she's acting and, omoye mamu means I will cut that one. But sometimes the girl herself is the one baiting you. That you thought you were the one going to catch her, she actually baited you to come. Are you hear what I'm saying? And when she's done with you, you will bite your finger and say, it's me. Are you hear what I'm saying? I know one man, again, I can't say those things like that, was a big man, head of an institution, big man in this country. And when the girl finished, he married him and all of that, very young girl. When the girl finished, left the country someday and wrote him and said, I've collected everything I want from you. I'm done with you. And in that time, the way she dragged that man on the floor. You know, we talked about you lose your honor. That's why you reduce somebody to a piece of bread. He has no honor. Are you with me? Remember, there's one song that I usually sing when people talk about that. There's one I Life song they used to sing. They say, Onti mo fe je ni o je kin gbon. Baby loruko, ko wa fa mi ni rogbon. You know what that means? When you see somebody who is your father's age in front of a female hostel in the university, carrying one girl who is your classmate or junior, she's a 100 level or 200 level, you are a 400 level, and you see your father's mate drive down to come and pick her up, and then you see him there and he's smiling, and the girl is pulling her GD, and we are saying, you know, he said, it's what I want to eat that's making me that stupid. You understand? So the song says, it's what I want to eat that has made me stupid. That one is calling me my name. I'm pulling my yabia. And you're smiling. That's not Bible. That's a song. Are you with me? But it speaks to what we're saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And there are people that have done these things and it has finished them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anybody? Okay, verse 28. Let's continue reading. Verse 28, did I say? You know, that's the one we just read. So it says, can you not walk on hot coals and your feet will not be seared? So is anybody that ventures into that, they will pay a price for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They will pay a price for it. Now, what it also means is this. Don't ever take any of that for granted. Are you hearing me? Don't take it for granted at all. I was watching, I think it was Pastor Stanley recently, and I was watching a snippet of his message, also along these lines. Just about now, he's apparently doing a teaching along these lines. And it was fantastic how he was explaining some of those things. You know, Pastor Stanley Oji has been here before in Akure. And it was explaining some of those things and explaining how the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that when you join yourself to a harlot, you become one with that harlot. That this is more than just a physical transaction. I can't actually say it the way he said it, but there was a way he was explaining that thing that blessed me thoroughly. And he said it's not just a purely physical transaction, so you will not understand sometimes what happens to you if you get yourself involved in it. That's why it says it's impossible to escape unscattered. Are you there? I sat with somebody and he was telling me, and he was talking about his dad, who was a player. And he said, I've never seen anybody so smart and yet so stupid at the same time. I said, I agree with you because I know he's a very smart person. I said, but there are certain things in life that when you get into, the way they will deal, those things will deal with you, you will not be able to see what is happening. But everybody else is seeing. You understand? Everybody else is seeing. Everybody else is pitting you. Everybody else is shaking their heads, but you can't see what they are seeing. You can't see the damage. You can't see how controlled. You can't see how this is messing you up. But everybody else around you is watching. And they're all shaking their heads for you. Are you with me? So whether it is something in the physical, and then you have all of these, sexually transmitted infections, or it's something even unseen, but you pay a price. When we're in medical school, there's a course you do which deals with the male organs and all of that, which is urology. So generally the male sexual and urinary system. And very often you find there are many reasons one older man may not be able to urinate well and all of that. The commonest would be the prostate organ. Okay? But some people come with what we call a urinary stricture, meaning the passage for urine is obstructed. And it's obstructed because of gonorrhea of years ago. The consequence now comes. It's one of the most emotional clinics to attend. That when you see how they pass, you have to pass, you know, a metal through to help the man open, scrape the thing and open it. And you see the old man crying and crying and crying and crying, but he's crying for the sins of the past. Sometimes the things he thought he got away with. Are you there? And the man, so you can't walk on coal without getting your feet burned. Are you with me, anybody? You are still more quiet now. Look at Galatians chapter 6. So one of the things also to look at is that this is something everybody, therefore, has to be careful about. Everybody. Can I hear you say everybody? Say it again. Say everybody. Don't say, no, it's that man. Oh, it's that Kineko. Oh, Kineko, me. No. You have to take the right steps. That's what we're talking about. Take the right steps. Do the right things. Avoid the wrong steps. Amen. In order to protect yourself. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass at all, okay, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So what I wanted you to see is that he's saying that even you that are spiritual can be tempted. So there are people that should never ever. If we say we are doing an outreach to a brothel, there are people that shouldn't follow us. Are you with me, anybody? If we say next week we are going to a brothel for outreach, there are some people that you say, Pastor, excuse me, I won't come. Sometimes also because of what I said at the beginning, that addiction cycle, because like I said, it affects the memory center. So there are certain things that if the person sees, so if you see a drug addict, he has stopped using drugs, but if he sees a needle, the memory triggers. Okay, so if we said to him, we're going to where the drug addicts are, he should be able to say, Pastor, I'm a cake, not stunt. You remember last week? Me, I've not been cooked where we're yet. I still have some rough size edges. I'm doing okay now, but don't expose me yet. I'm not ready to go to that one with you. Please, can I be excused from that one? Perfectly okay. Are you hear what I'm saying? But you say, I used to be like that. I'm going. Then the next thing, you start doing the same things. Are you there? You know, there's some people that if you give them as gifts now, 10 crates of beer, they will smash it. They won't even think about it twice. But there are some people that if you give them, they can't sleep. You understand? That beer will be calling their name. They will not be able to sleep. So that's why it says each one should know how to possess his own vessel. Know what it takes for you. Can I have an amen? Okay, so Proverbs chapter 6. Let's try to wrap it up on verse 32. He said, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. Some of those things are products of a lack of understanding. And what does that mean? If you have a good understanding of the consequences, okay? Bad understanding of the consequences should make you run away from it. So I think the other time I was talking about the fact that tell yourself it's going to be one hour with that guy, 1 hour with that woman. But the consequences will be very grave. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that 1 hour is not enough. I can't trade, you know, 1 hour pleasure to get the kind of trouble that it will come into my life. And the Bible says wound and dishonor. That's the consequence. Wound and dishonor you will get, and his reproach will not. Will not. Can I hear you say will not? You know, I know a very senior man of God. Lovely, respectable man. But he made a mistake many years ago. Many years ago. You know. And I still hear people talk about it now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They still talk about it now. And I'm thinking, for crying out loud, that man has left that one. When he was challenged about it, he opened up, he confessed, he went through everything his pastor asked him to do. He did everything, he submitted himself, and God has honored him and promoted him. But people still talk about it. So the wound and dishonor. I'm sure in his own heart of heart, there's wound. But there's still dishonor. There are some people who say, that one. I said, my friend, God, you can even see that God has forgiven this guy long ago. Of course, God forgives instantly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But not only so, you can see that God is using this man. He has moved beyond that. But there's still talk. There's still attacks. Are you hearing me? You know, in fact, in recent times, there's a pastor of a popular church in the U.S., that's in the news right now. And he's had to resign. And I was very upset. Actually, I'm very angry about that matter. I'm very, very angry about that matter. I'm angry at the church itself also. But I understand the environment they're in. But they said the man slept with a minor. That's a lady who is underage, or a girl. 1980-something. When the man was 20 years old. Before the church was formed. And then the lady who is now in her 50s now came up to say, this is what he did then to me. And then the man had to resign. And the church says, yeah, he has to resign. We are supporting him, but he has to resign. And I said, what is going on? What is going on? That's how many years ago. You don't have any story of the man doing anything since that time. Even it happened before the church served. And I thought to myself, that's just an attack on the church. But listen, wound and dishonor he will get. His reproach will not be what? Wiped away. So he still came back after the man has started that ministry. After it's become so big, it's just problematic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if whatever you can do to avoid it, do it. With all of your might, do it. Because it's a big problem. And it comes back to bite sometimes when you don't expect it. And sometimes when you don't think it's justified. Like, I don't think that one is justified. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think that the church should have stood up and backed him up and said, no. Hey, what are we talking about? I mean, that's like taking Paul and arresting him for what he did as Saul. I said, the man has turned and moved on. Are you still there, anybody? But the best bet is not to have any regrets in your past. Are you still there? And that's the biggest message, is that whatever it is, wherever you are now, make sure that at least from now, can I hear you say from now, that you avoid any sexual immorality, at least from now. Something might have happened before. That is fine. That's in the past. Repent of that, and I believe you have. God has forgiven you. That's great. But avoid anything from now. Haven't now known and haven't now gained understanding about the problems that this can bring your way. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I want you to take your time, begin to talk to God. You know yourself better than I do. And God knows you too. Begin to talk to God. Maybe there are even steps, decisions you need to make. I touched on different things, just different things here, there. Some will be primarily for you and not for anybody else, or maybe two people, three people. But you know what exactly is speaking to you. And I think this morning God has pointed out to us that be careful about whatever begins to infect your mind along these lines wrongly, because it will create an addiction. It will create an addiction. And once that addiction is created, you're in trouble. But the addiction is created by a repeated habit or repeated ventures. That's how addictions are created. Not by one attempt, but the bigger the thing is that causes that pleasure, sudden huge pleasure in your brain, then the greater the chances that thing is going to get you addicted. So there are some things that you do once, twice, three times, and you're in trouble. So there are some things it takes you 10 times. Or whatever it is, stop it now. That's what God is saying. Stop it now. Stop it now. And fight it and tell yourself, sin shall not have dominion over me. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Every hour, most gracious Lord, no temple of like thine can be afford. Hands, don't do anything. I'm just going to pray with you right now. You can tell that there are things hanging on you from that the past, you know, from the past, things that you've engaged in. And you're saying, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me this morning. I hear you loud and clear, and I yield to you today. Father, thank you. Thank you for every such person under the sound of my voice. We break every hold of the enemy upon them in the name of Jesus. We break all kinds of soul ties, all kinds of ties of whatever type. I break them in the name of Jesus. Thank you because they are free. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, it's new beginnings for them in the name of Jesus. Even addictions are broken. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High. Thank you, Most High. We are also here believing God for a touch, healing, whatever. Just lay your hands on your chest. Father, thank you for touching people here. Thank you because you heal them like only you can. I command a healing from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet by the power of God released upon them now. And in the name of Jesus, thank you, Most High. Thank you, Most High. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name. And are you here? You need to make peace with God. Also put your hand on your chest. Either you've never been born again or you were born again. But today you need to get back to God. You know you need to get back to God. Put your hand on your chest also. Let's pray together. If you are in that category, let's do it and do it boldly. You need to make peace with God. You know that if you were to die now, you're not sure what will happen to you. Then do so. All of his prayers work for even those who are online. So if you are here or online, just say, Lord Jesus, I've come to you. I don't see any hands here. And say, I submit myself to you. I realize that you died for my sins and you rose for my justification. I believe it and I confess it. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Father, thank you for saving everyone who said that. Thank you because you didn't just save them, you will keep them whole, spirit, soul, and body, and present them whole on that day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you remind me next time, as I wrap up, I'll speak about one of the biggest ways to break the addiction cycle. One of the best ways to break the addiction cycle by the things we have spoken about, the things you see. One of the most important things you need to know and do. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.